We're going to look together at the scriptures. As I say, it's Trinity Sunday. This Sunday, every day is Trinity Day, really, but in the church calendar. So we're thinking about how God is one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So you may have picked that up from both of the gospel readings in Matthew. In Matthew chapter 3, it's the baptism of Jesus. And as Anna read to us, we were reminded of that account of Jesus, the Son, going down into the water. The Father speaks, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." And the Spirit descended on him in bodily form. So we see the Trinity at work there. And then as Penny read to us from the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, again in the context of water baptism, how we're to go and make disciples of all nations. It says there, "In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And that's why today we continue to encourage people who haven't been baptized to do so as a decision for Jesus, as they die to their old ways, going under the water and then rising up with the risen, resurrected Christ as they come up out of the water. And we often proclaim Jesus is Lord, which is the shortest form of the creed. And as Jesus said to John the Baptist, said, "This is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." And that's what we seek to do as a church, to be obedient to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And that's why we're going to seek to run this online alpha, which is terrifying technologically, but apparently it's yielding results. So we shall step out in faith and do that and seek to connect with people who otherwise wouldn't connect with us through the gospel of our Lord Jesus. So the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We were looking at this at our Yelton Bible study on Thursday evening. We looked at two mathematical sums. Well, one was 1 + 1 = 3. Well, you could say that of the Trinity, but you could also say it's 1 × 1 × 1 = 1. There's 3 in 1. And the Trinity is central to Christian belief. If we do not accept God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit being one God, then we place ourselves outside of Christian doctrine. And the church in the early days particularly struggled with this doctrine. And the reason they struggled with it is because it's not human in origin. It's not somebody making something up. It's a revelation of who God is, and it's part of his mystery and power and his glory. So there are six things that the Holy Trinity is about. It's one God and only one. And if you've got your Bibles with you, you're going to refer to various scriptures as we go along. And you might be familiar where the scripture says, "The Lord our God is one." That's in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. And Jesus quotes this in Mark chapter 12, verse 28, when he's speaking about the greatest commandments. Let's turn to that if you've got your Bibles or your device with you. I'll just read those few verses. So it's Mark chapter 12, verse 28. And the scribe comes to Jesus and hears him disputing with others. And seeing that he answered them well, he asked him, that's Jesus, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" And Jesus answered, "The most important is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength.'" And he goes on to say, the second is this, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." So the Lord our God, there's one God and only one. We're also told the second thing is exists in three persons. Well, that's even revealed, it's alluded to in the Old Testament, as we were looking at on Thursday night, in Genesis 1:26, where God says, "Let us make man in our image." So there's something remarkable going on there. So one God and only one, that's the first thing. There are two, exists in three persons. The third is equal and eternal. I haven't got time to go into all this because it would be a huge biblical series. The fourth thing is worthy of equal praise and worship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are. The fifth thing is the distinct yet acting in unity. There's never any disunity within the Trinity. And the sixth thing is constituting one true God of the Bible, both from the Old and the New Testaments. And various people have tried to give human illustrations of this wonderful doctrine. And scientists have had a go. They've said that God's revealed in creation, and there are three things that coexist within creation, and that's matter, space, and time. They coexist together. Matter, if you're interested, matter equals mass plus energy plus motion. So that's a trinity there. Space, there's a trinity there, length and height and width. There's a trinity there. And time. Time is past, present, and future. So you've got matter, space, and time coexisting from the creation and the flow of the eternal God. All deep stuff. Now, as I was praying about my sermon, I came to grief. I had to completely start again as I was struggling with the Trinity. And I thought, Lord, how can we look at this reasonably simply? Well, I was reminded of 2 Corinthians 13:14. Now, most of us will know this, probably not by the reference, but it's the grace, and we'll be saying that shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. That's 2 Corinthians 13:14. And it's a Trinitarian blessing that we bless one another with. And as we just said, there are three parts to that blessing. There's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful thing, grace, as we've talked about it. Preachers talk about it so much. It's God's unmerited favor. We could never earn our way to heaven, but it's through faith in Jesus. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 4-8 says this: but God, being rich in mercy, that's at the heart of grace, because of the great love with which he loved us, each one of us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We spoke about this a few weeks ago. So that in the coming age, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It's a gift of God. So we bless one another. The grace of Jesus Christ. And as with all these things, there's like a triune response. We receive the grace, we share the grace, and we pass it on. That's a sort of a triune blessing. We want to really know God's power in our lives. We receive by faith, we share it with one another, and we pass it on. It's the opposite to what sin is. That's coveting, which keeps, hoards, and lusts for more, and is never satisfied. But the grace of God is received, shared, and is given. And we're told in John 1:12, that to all who did receive him, that's the word of life, the Lord Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So the grace of our Lord Jesus. Then we go on to the love of God, the amazing love of God. And there's that familiar scripture some of you probably won't need to turn to. That's John 3:16, reminds us God, the love of God the Father. And I'll read those three verses. I'm going to read John 3:16-18. For God the Father, that's speaking of in this context, so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. But God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed the name of the only Son of God. So we receive his love, we share his love, and we give his love to others. And there's that one other wonderful scripture in 1 John chapter 4, which speaks of the love of God. So if you'd like to turn with me, and that's 1 John chapter 4, and I'm going to read verse 7, because it's so relevant to what we're thinking of just at the moment. So it's 1 John 4, verse 7 to 12, I'm going to read, speaking of the love of God. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest amongst us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. That's the word of God. It speaks of the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God. It's not to be waved in front of a random church after tear gassing people who are at the church seeking to show the love of God. It's not to be waved over people as some kind of weird authoritarian, I'm in charge, get into line. That's not what the word of God is at all. It's about the grace of our Lord Jesus, sacrificial love. And that's what cleanses us from our sin through the sacrifice of Jesus. So we've got the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, and then this wonderful, wonderful gift that we partially share via Zoom, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. It was such a joy on Thursday morning. A few of us gathered in the Marriott's home to, not in their home, beg your pardon, just make this clear, with social distancing, it was in their garden. We were correctly positioned. But it was so lovely to be in a human being's presence, other than my dear wife, of course. But it's lovely to share fellowship, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And it was a joy to be with my brothers and sisters and to pray together. I'm looking forward to the Elmton and the Bitterford one tomorrow morning. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And the wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit, it's opposite to the spirit of the world, which is division. I'm different from you. This is black. This is white. I'm rich. You're poor. Blah, blah, blah. Because we're told that through the ministry of the Holy Spirit working through Jesus in Galatians 3, 27 and 28, it says there is neither Jew nor Greek. Now, you could say black or white. There's neither black or white. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male or female, for you are one in Christ Jesus. That's a tremendous message that the world needs to hear, isn't it? So the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and as we were looking at last week, the Holy Spirit has come not to just bless us so I can keep my blessing, but this wonderful thing that we can receive the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We can share the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And then by the grace of God, we can give that gift that we have, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And if you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, as we conclude this word, we have our final song together. This is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. I think it says it so beautifully. Ephesians 4, second part of verse 1 through to verse 7, thinking of this fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Says the Apostle Paul says, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace has been given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. So we see the blessing of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit, an antidote to division and hatred. So yes, Zoom fellowship is wonderful, but won't it be lovely, hopefully sooner rather than later, when we can gather together as human beings in one another's presence rather than over the internet. So we thank God for technology, but it just does for the time being. So we're thinking this morning of the wonderful triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit.